Today on Real Radio.
I believe that what's in store ahead of us in America will be a stripping away of the things that have easily distracted us for far too long. And sometimes the biggest distraction have been things wrapped around Christianity or church life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new topical series called You Need to Know. For the first few lessons in this series, our chief text will be Romans 13:11, though we'll be exploring a lot of different passages. Now, if you're a true believer, then knowing what you believe and why is critical. The good news? Our Lord speaks to us through His Word. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God.
Why would we bring a series up at a time like this? Because we're living in absolutely radical times. And I have to do this series. Why? Because on my watch, with what's going on in the world around us, as we enter this time of the year and this time of life, I want to make sure you're given the opportunity to be given the things that you need to know. That you need to know. It's not that I know it, or that the person next to you know it, that you know it, you know why you know it, and listen, you can articulate to somebody else why you know it. But if we cannot answer the question as to why we are Christians, we're in deep trouble. This is a critical time. Reality is coming at breakneck speed. And I believe that what's in store ahead of us in America will be a stripping away of the things that have easily distracted us for far too long. And sometimes the biggest distraction have been things wrapped around Christianity or church life. And we want to strip that down starting today. And we want to, maybe it's going to be tedious, maybe it's going to be boring. I don't know, I hope not. But we are going to be looking at the essentials that you and I need to know that determines if we are a Christian or not. Well, Pastor, I don't need to go through this because my dad was a Christian. My grandfather was a Christian. I come from a long line of Christians. You're exactly the person we need to go through this for. You may be here today saying, oh man, I remember back in 82, I had a goosebump one time in worship and that was my moment. That's my claim to fame with God. But where are you right now with Jesus? And like somebody who came up to me last service and said, I need to accept Jesus Christ because I'm ashamed of my life. This was a very young person. And I'm thinking, wow, that's awesome. This service is not for me to preach at or to you. This message and this series is for you to be stimulated to think and to determine where you're at with God. So listen, I fully expect the services to diminish in size over the course of the weeks. Because it may get too warm in here. It may be too honest in here. It may be too clear in here for the liking. But I bring this series to you because on my watch, I have to make sure you don't point to me on the day of judgment and say, he never told me. I want to be able to say back, Lord, he wasn't listening. Because rewind that tape. Remember that Sunday in October we started that series, Lord? So Romans chapter 13, if you're taking notes today, you need to know as we begin our series. We'll begin today by looking at this. You need to know all about the revelation of God. The revelation of God. The revelation of God is so important that the last book of the Bible is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the revelation of God begins in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. It begins with God and it ends with God. The revelation of God. Why is it important? With this urgency, Romans 13:11, and do this. Listen to his strong voice. Paul speaks to the Italians there in Rome. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. This is an awesome declaration of truth. What's the drive? What's the issue? Romans 13:11. Now, we are so close now. We are nearer. You say, oh, nobody knows when the Lord's going to come back. Nobody knows the day or the hour when the Lord's going to come back. But the Bible warns us that we will be able to detect, smell, feel, kind of taste in your mouth, the times and the seasons. Isn't that interesting? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Wow. So as the Bible tells us, every day you and I wake up and live our lives, go to bed, wake up, live our lives, go to bed. Guess what? You are one day closer to the near return of Christ. Or for you and I to die of old age or sickness and go see Him. But we want to make sure that you go and see Him. That's all important. Listen, I'm going to give you four categories, and I want you to find out in your own life, judge yourself, which one of these best describes you, making a grand assumption for a moment, dangerously, carefully, I say, assumption that all of us in this room are Christians. It's a scary thing to say because it may or may not be true. I don't know, but having that assumption, number one, a Christian is a person who, in its simplest definition, is a person who believes in the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Example given, the thief on the cross. Y'all familiar with him? The thief on the cross had no claim to religion, knowing God at all, except he was crucified, a wicked man. But by the time he died, he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That poor, ignorant sinner knew enough to say this. Translation, Jesus, I see you're being crucified for nothing you've done. It must be all about what I've done. I'm about ready to die, but you, once you die, you'll be coming back. When you do that, will you just remember this happened here today? That I got it? And Jesus said the unthinkable to him. It blows the mind of every legalist in the universe. Jesus said, today, I want to believe you went like this. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. What an answer! God on the cross turns to a wicked, perverse, guilty sinner, the ultimate story of grace. And he says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, how did that guy die? It doesn't tell us. They came, obviously, you know that they physically came and they broke his legs so that he couldn't fill his lungs up anymore. That thief died there. He suffocated on the cross. But did he suffocate with a smile? Did he suffocate with tears flowing down his cheeks? All I know is how he went up there to die. He didn't die like the way that they intended. That man died to save man. And you keep that in mind. Number two, a Christian is a person who believes, adheres to, and has faith in the person and the work and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe that better describes you because you've grown a little bit since that day you accepted Christ. Thank God. Or maybe you've grown and a Christian is a person who is devoted to the doctrines of Jesus Christ, that is the Bible, and is committed to living out those doctrines on a daily basis. I hope that's many of you, if not all of you. And then here's what every pastor wants their church to be like. The fourth one. A Christian is a person who has been born anew or born again by the Spirit of God, having experienced a personal transformation that is exhibited by the living of a new life. A new life. Can you today say, I opened up my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. He forgave me of my sins. And from that moment on, I have grown in the grace and the knowledge of God on a daily basis. And it has so changed my life that I'm not the person that I once was. And I have to say that God did it all. Do you know the transformational power of God at work in you? That's a Christian. And that's all needed. And so we must examine ourselves. We must understand that God is challenging us. And listen, you are to know that. I beg with you, I plead with you, because many people tell me, Pastor, I appreciate your zeal and your passion, but there ain't no way you can know that. Listen, not only do I expect you to know that you're a child of God and that you're going to heaven, I only expect that because the Bible demands that. Did you know that? The Bible says so. So don't raise your hand. If you have doubts that you're a child of God, don't jump up and say, that's me. No, just sit there and listen, and you evaluate your life in light of this. 1 John 5, verse 13. 1 John 5, verse 13 says these things. John says, I have written to you who believe in the name. That word carries not only, of course, the name, the mission, the work, the authority of the Son of God, that you may know. The word in Greek means have an absolute, certain awareness of this fact, that you have eternal life. You're to know it. It is to be something assured in your life, and that you may continue to believe in the name or in the authority of the Son of God. This is a biblical mandate for the Christian. Know that you're saved. Revel in that joy, and then continue on in it. And like any family, and why should God's family be anything less? In any family, a family member knows that they belong. Look, it doesn't matter if you're adopted. We have an adopted grandchild in our family. I never think about her being adopted until somebody says, oh, is this your adopted granddaughter? What? Oh, I guess. Yes. She's so adopted, she's so loved, that she actually physically looks like my family. Think of it. And on top of it, when you're born into a family, what can you say? Well, here he is. We're going to send him back. No, we got to take him home. He's been born in the family. But to be adopted is to be picked. I pick you. And that's what God says he does to us. I pick you. And you know what? The Bible says that we've been adopted into the family of God. And you should know that. You should know that you're wanted. If an earthly family, it's important to an earthly family that a child understand that they're wanted, how much more would God want to communicate to you that you're wanted? Oh, he does. So church, as we look at this brand new series, as we get into this, you need to know, number one, we kick it off by, you need to know all about the revelation of God. And number one, jot this down, here it is. God who? Who is God? This is a question that must be answered in our culture now more than ever. I met somebody the other day from a distant land, and they said, aren't all Americans Christians? That's what we were told. You guys know, you laugh because you know the answer to that. When we talk about God in this culture now, we must ask, God who? Our culture has been inundated by the cults, by those who have created gods, invented gods. When somebody says, I believe in God, you must stop now, Christian, including your own life. When you say that you believe in God, if you ask me, Jack, do you believe in God? Don't make any grand assumptions, please. You need to ask me, and I need to ask you. We need to ask our neighbors when they say they believe in God. We need to come right back now in the 21st century here in America and ask, which God? God who? Because there's a whole bazillion of them. God is not a person. God is a title. Did you hear me carefully? God is not a person. It is a title. Now, you and I know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but we know him by his name, not his title. Big difference. There are the gods of the Amorites. There's the God of the Hittites. There's the God of the Egyptians. There's the gods of the Babylonians. There's the God of Islam. All these various gods. Listen, I don't mean to freak anybody out, but let's be theologically honest. And let's be honest to these other religions. There's the gods, plural, of Mormonism. There is the God of the Jehovah Witness, the Watchtower of Faith. Completely different than the biblical God. Remember that. So when we talk about who is God, we need to analyze a few things. And today we'll just get started on this. First of all, take it from Jesus. In John 4:23, Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. Verse 24, God is spirit. You got to circle those three words. And those who worship him must, mandated, it is required of you to worship him in spirit and in truth. What a strong statement. Jesus is announcing that God, watch this everybody, that God, the only God there is, the creator God of the universe, God, God of heaven and earth, is spirit. The Bible says that the God of the Bible is spirit. It means that he does not have a physical existence. He's able to transverse or pass through the physical realm of his created universe. But the God of the Bible teaches that God is spirit. And Jesus, of course, announces that. Being a spirit, he's non-physical. He's totally transcendent. He is beyond and outside of his creation. It is subservient to him. And listen, this is fun, that he's beyond human comprehension or human rationale, the God of the Bible. Why do I say that? Because the God of all the cults can be explained very thoroughly by the cult member. You and I cannot do that about our God. You say, Jack, you're not winning the case for us, are you? I am. Because our God in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, has chosen to reveal what you and I need to know. It will take you and I all time and eternity to find out the fine prints, the blueprints about his love, about his compassion, about his grace, about his goodness. Can you imagine? Can you? You know, what am I asking you for? You can't imagine. It's beyond your ability to comprehend. The Bible says that the God of the Bible reveals enough to you to know why you need him and how much he loves you, but what's reserved are things so great, so vast, that with our brain, I'm not knocking any of you, I'm sure you're a very clever person, but with our brain capacity and with our ability to think, God doesn't even waste his breath telling us, because we couldn't comprehend that. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered in the minds of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's called heaven, eternity. It's going to be awesome for the believer. Keep this in mind. Absolutely glorious. That the fact in Isaiah 57, 15, this is what God says about himself. Isaiah 57, 15. For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity. Listen, God, where do you live? Eternity. Where's that? It's everywhere. It's forever. It's not only encompasses where you're at, Jack, but it goes beyond the bookends of time and space and physics. Eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, says God of himself. He's revealing himself to us, and he's saying, I dwell in a place beyond what you can ever imagine. You're bound to the physical universe. We say things like, where do you live? On Mars or the moon? Do you live in New York? Do you live in Hong Kong? God says, listen, God is able to say this of himself. The answer to that is yes and beyond. And listen, when you guys send your spaceships out and they go through space and they go past everything else and they come to the end, think of this. Are you with me? Yeah. The physical universe has a limit. You don't think like this often. In a galaxy far, far away, 50 quadrillion zillion light years from now, I don't care what number you put on it. God is not only in this time and space of ours, which he's created, but to him, the Bible flirts with us and says, it's as though it's in the hollow of his hand. He's on the other side. So if that spaceship comes to the end of the physical universe and hits a wall, can you imagine? Boom, 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 boom. God's on the other side looking at it. Look at those little humans. They sent a little spaceship out here. He's on the other side where there's no physics. Everything that is physical, God has created. He dwells where there's non-physical because he is spirit. So when somebody says, do you believe in God? Your answer is, yes, I believe in the God of the Bible who is spirit. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought you believed in Jesus. I do. Well, he's not spirit. He was a baby born in Bethlehem. That's true. And you have to come back next week to get that answer. There's no contradiction. There's revelation. God, who is spirit and all eternal, because he loves you, came from his place and inserted himself into this physical universe and came into this world just like you and I did to speak to us, to announce to us, to show us, then to die for us and to be resurrected from the dead. Everything for us that we might be with him in that ageless, timeless space called heaven that has no limits and has no end. So the first thing we see here that you need to know is this, that God is the Lord God. Unlike any other God of all of the religions and cults of the world, the Bible says that the God of the Bible is the Lord God. And what do we mean by that? This is foundational and fundamental to Christianity. The Bible uses the word Lord, capital L, lowercase O-R-D. When you see that in the Bible, you're looking at the word Adonai, or in the Greek, Kyrios. In the New Testament, Adonai in the Old Testament, Kyrios in the New Testament Greek. What does that mean? It means that God is the master in relation to his servants or his servant creation. God is master. The Bible says over and over again that he's master. Now watch this. Concerning Jesus' coming, Jesus, you've read your Bible, Jesus was obedient to the Father. Was he not, ladies and gentlemen? Was he not? The Bible says that Jesus obeyed his Father. The Bible says that Jesus was obedient to the point of death. Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. Remember that? How could Jesus say that if he's 100% God? He was and is 100% God. He's equal to the Holy Spirit. He's equal to the Father. Then why did he say that? Because Jesus, in his incarnation, became man just like you and I are man, yet without sin. Why? So that we would be saved. He didn't send a giraffe. He didn't send a monkey to die for our sins. He didn't send an animal to die. An angel. He didn't send an angel to die for your sins. Why? No one can die for your sins except a perfect human who represents our plight. The only problem is we've looked around, checked all of our pockets, looked underneath every couch, every chair, and we can't find a perfect human. Ladies, all know in this church, it's hard enough to find a good man. How can you find a perfect human? The best person on earth that's ever lived is imperfect. And because you've been created in the image of God, God came and took upon himself the form and the existence of a human being. That's why in theological study, Jesus is 100% God, which he always has been, is, and shall be, and he's 100% man, having become that in the conception.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know, all about the revelation of God. It's a look at some scripture passages that give us insight into the fundamental tenets of our faith. It's part of Pastor Jack's topical series called You Need to Know, and we'll continue with more of You Need to Know on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just wrapped up Pastor Jack's fascinating collection of studies through 2 Corinthians. And since we've had a whole lot of Real Radio listeners calling in, emailing, and asking about it, we've decided to extend an offer. Get this. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you all the MP3s of the entire series on one USB drive. Let me say that again. We'll send you all of the MP3s of this entire series of 2 Corinthians all on one USB drive for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Call, click, or write. Just mention it by name. 2 Corinthians on a USB drive. Just visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and we've made it real easy for you to take it from there. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your contribution to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.